Welcome to another week of Free Basketball. I am your host, one Ryan Meadows. A little cold. If you're in the Memphis or the Mid-South area, you know we've had a winter storm, a vortex of cold weather move in. And we've had a lot of snow recently, and it's been really cold. Opposite my co-star, Cody Holsey, this is like summer weather to him, because he lives in Kansas City. Are we babies for what we're getting down here compared to what you see every day?
I don't think you're babies. I don't think it's what we see every day. We also had a recent, like, very cold. It's like uncharacteristically cold for here. We had the fourth coldest NFL game in the history of NFL games.
Yeah.
So it's just, this weather sucks.
Cold
weather
does
is
suck.
Not fun. Like,
cold weather
just
is
like,
not fun. Yeah.
It's not all cold weather is bad, but like when it's so cold that you walk outside and the inside of your lungs hurt from breathing, that's when you know it's cold, when you're like, I think my lungs have frostbite now.
Yeah, it's like when I'm breathing, I'm like, am I breathing too deeply? Because I feel like I feel every like brachial, like, you know, I don't know how you describe that, but
I just
I'm
think
filling
I
up
feel
every
areoli in my lungs die.
Yes. Yes. Every areoli.
They turn into crystals. They just
Is it called
crystallize.
areoli?
I
feel
don't
like
know.
Areola is not right.
No, I think I'm right. I think it's areoli. I'm pretty sure I remember this. Hold on a second. Let me find out.
Oh, live at the beginning of Free Basketball. We're searching out. No, but yes, it's been very cold. I know you're used to it, so I wasn't sure how what your thoughts were, because I know, you know, your parents still live here, so I didn't know if they're like trying to complain to you about it, and you're like, Mom, that's nothing. But anyways, let's get into the NBA, because we have a handful of topics we want to talk about. Not a good segue there at all, but I'm not sure how you can segue that from the way we started the episode. But we had a trade today. The Indiana Pacers acquired Pascal Siakam for the Toronto Raptors for the likes of Bruce Brown, Jordan Nwora, Kira Lewis Jr., and I think there was another player in there that is of little to no consequence, and a bunch of first round picks. Cody, for you, was this a good trade for everybody all around? Or was it the Toronto Raptors not necessarily panicking trading, but definitely learned from their mistake with Fran VanVleet, just letting him walk for nothing in the offseason? They see that for coming with Siakam as well and decided to get what they could now. Like, how do you view it?
Yeah, I definitely think that it's like, I mean, they've been talking about trading Siakam for a while now. I also think it's like time to kind of, you know, shake things up a little bit in Toronto. They've been kind of riding the same pony for a while, and they've been coming in not very well. So they need to, you know, make some changes there. And I think they made definitely some changes, and I think it is a good trade for everybody. The Raptors loaded up on picks. Some teams did some like salary cap chicanery to get under the luxury tax and stuff like that. And the Pacers got Siakam and paired him up with Haliburton. So I think that's a pretty solid pairing.
Well, for the Raptors, I mean, they got a brand new first-year head coach, a developmental guy. We're familiar with him here at the Grizzlies, right? He was our lead assistant for the past couple of years. But it felt like the Raptors, you know, like you said, it was time to shake things up. It was kind of like a piss or get off the pot thing. And we've been saying that for the past two or three seasons for this team. Like, where are they really going? And we know they have Scottie Barnes. They did make a move off of OG Anunoby and got people like RJ Barrett, Emmanuel Quickley in there. Now they add Bruce Brown into this fold. I mean, do you think the Raptors are done? Or do you think this is a start of selling off these pieces? Like, could you see them moving? Like, the only untouchable guy it feels like on the Raptors is Scottie Barnes. Besides that, any playoff team that's interested in someone like Bruce Brown, Jakob Poeltl, Emmanuel Quickley, like, they can be got for future picks or, you know, young players that the Raptors like that they'd want to develop in their program. Is that kind of what we're seeing now for the Raptors? Now they kind of have an identity? Or do you think they're going to stick with kind of this patchwork roster of, it's kind of like the Nets, right? Where it's a bunch of the same kind of players. And now they think, well, let's be a little competitive for this. Or do you think this is a start of more moves for them over the next coming weeks before we hit the trade deadline?
I think this is probably the beginning of a couple of moves for them. But that being said, I also think it's also they just loaded, they're loading up on draft picks and young players and pieces that they can move around. So it's possible that they could just sit on those pieces, finish off the season, and then, you could see some like closer to draft time moves, packaging maybe some of those draft picks and maybe some other assets together as we get closer to that draft and you start to kind of see how lottery picks and things are going to shake out. You might see some moves for like some bigger pieces, or you might not. They might just stick with what they got. Maybe they move some of those pieces into more picks. Who knows?
Now, from flip side, from the Indiana Pacers side, I mean, they were the ones that paid Bruce Brown in the offseason, and the man doesn't even make it 5 months with the organization. Was just the idea of Siakam just that enticing for them? Where they needed him in that spot. I mean, I felt like Obi Toppin has been doing a pretty good job for them. Obviously, Obi Toppin is not a long-term high-end starter for a good NBA team. Is that the idea with Siakam? They get a little older, they still play that small ball, the scoring punch, instead of it being Obi Toppin, now it's Siakam. Are they even more lethal offensively? Is that the idea? Or do you think they just were trying to buy low on they view a top 30, top 40 NBA player, and keep him around long term, because it is a gamble because he is a free agent in the summer. You think the Pacers felt pretty confident with him re-signing, or they wouldn't have done this move?
I agree. I think they had to have some sort of like confidence that they'd be able to get him to re-sign for them to do that, or they just want to clear a bunch of cap space to get free agents this summer. I don't know who are free agents this summer off the top of my head, but
And who's signing with Indiana? It's not like they're going to get any free agents. Like, they kind of have to do this trade, right? If they're going to get any player at all, like, this was the best case scenario for them, because they're more than likely not going to beat out, the bigger market teams looking for similar players. Like, they're not going to be able to jump into the Donovan Mitchell race, right? Like, they have to acquire it through these means and re-sign and retain. But it is risky with Siakam since he can technically walk at the end of this. We really like the Pacers before the year. They've been pretty good. Well, I'd say up and down, probably more of a little bit above 500, which I think is what they are. But the offense is like a night-to-night thing where you're just expecting 140 points from either them or their opponent, or potentially both. Is this offense even more dangerous? Is it even more watchable? Or is it going to start getting kind of cartoonish now? Or I guess I should say, does Siakam legitimize this offense more?
yeah, I think so. I mean, you got Siakam. I think that like so now who's their starting five now? It's gonna be Haliburton, Siakam,
Maybe
Miles
between
Turner,
Nesmith and Mathurin, right? Miles Turner,
Buddy Hield.
Buddy Hield, sometimes start, sometimes cut off the bench, although it feels like Buddy Hield's kind of on the way out too, like he can be got. So these are, I mean, are these two teams that are, they have more to do? Is that what you
I think
feel
they
for
both
them?
have more to do.
Yeah, or they are going to do something. Maybe not necessarily, for this year, but looking forward to something with their future, because it is promising. They have their point guard. Now, in theory, they have their starting four. Miles Turner continues to stay healthy like he has been recently. They have their starting five. Now they're trying to figure out the two and the three, right? I don't know. Is there anything else about this trade? Like, was it kind of the first domino in an interesting trade deadline to you? Or do you think, we always get hyped up for a trade deadline and nothing really happens. Is this our blockbuster trade deadline deal? Is this going to be basically it, the biggest name?
Yeah, I think so.
Because
Like, we get
everybody.
all hyped up for the trade deadline. And every year, like 3 weeks before the trade deadline, there's a trade that's like kind of big and splashy, like when Porzingis to the Mavs a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Or not a couple, but a few, like a while ago. That was like a big splashy thing before what was basically a pretty quiet trade deadline. I feel like that happens like a lot. If there's like kind of a bigger splashier trade before the trade deadline's pretty quiet.
Yeah. This is going to be an episode with not a lot of great topics to segue to because it is kind of like a round table of topics. Skipping over to a team that is also in the Eastern Conference, except the number one team in the East, I believe, still. The Boston Celtics are chasing a little bit of history here. They played the Spurs tonight, I believe, at home, and I think they defeated the Spurs, which brings them up to now, I think, 20-0 at home. Does this record interest you at all? Is it impressive? Isn't an indicator of anything? What do you think about it? 20-0 at home to start the season.
Pretty solid record. I mean,
Yeah, I would. That's probably saying the least, right?
yeah. I mean, if you think about it from the perspective of like, what do the fans want when they come to a home game? Well, they want to see the home team win, right?
Yeah.
So, by definition, the Celtics are performing at a level both athletically and from a market perspective, they're providing the exact product that people pay for every night. So, I mean, like, what more could you ask for from the Celtics? What more could you ask from these guys?
Yeah,
Does this
if you're
mean, do you
by.
think, is Jaylen Brown playing for his current contract?
Nope. It's his
But
first
is
year,
that
I
like the
think.
kind of, no, but is that the kind of way he's playing right now?
Kind of. Yeah, I guess so. I
Like
guess
he's
you could
playing like
describe it
he's
like that.
trying to get, he's like trying to validate that contract that he got.
Is it that, or is it that the Celtics are just that good? And the teams they play, mostly Eastern teams,
I
aren't
just,
very good.
I was just trying to hyperbolize the Celtics winning and make it sound awesome. But yeah, I mean, like, I think it is just that the Celtics are that good, like, realistically.
But you're absolutely right. I mean, if you're paying tickets to go to TD Garden, right? You want to go because you know the Celtics are going to win. Like you're not want maybe you want a competitive game, like you want it to be fun or whatever, but ultimately you're going because you want to see the team win because they're really good. And they're 20-0, they're really good. So I decided to see what other teams what kind of record are they chasing here? And the records I could find, two teams in the past 40 plus years have gone 40-1 at home.
Okay.
40-1. Can you guess one of the two teams?
Utah Jazz.
Nope.
Okay.
One's kind of a trick question.
One of them is probably the Seattle Supersonics, who don't exist anymore.
Nope.
I would guess the Bulls or the Warriors.
Nope.
Oh, wow. I
The
don't know.
Warriors in 2015, 2016, well, actually in two back-to-back years, they went 39-2. And I think they
Okay.
actually hold the longest home winning streak. It was like 50 something straight games or something like that.
Wow.
Spanning over two seasons, obviously.
Yep.
The first team, 1985, 1986, 40-1 at home, the Boston Celtics.
Okay.
2015, 2016, the other team to do it that was 40-1, the San Antonio Spurs.
So, like Larry Bird, Bill Russell and company.
Not Bill Russell.
Not Bill Russell, Bill Walton.
About 20 years too late for
My
that
bad. Wrong Bill.
one.
Is that
Yeah,
the
but
year that I'm thinking of?
yeah, it's like Bird, Mikhail, Parrish. I think Dennis
Walker.
Johnson was still on that team, I think. Besides that, I mean, there's a handful of teams that went 39-2, and you're right, the Bulls are in that back-to-back years. They went 39-2. The Cleveland Cavaliers in 2008, 2009 went 39-2 as well. And there's some that are like teams in the 50s went 33-1 or 30-1. But recent kind of, 41 game split out of 82 game season, the Spurs and the Celtics are the only two to go 40-1. So it begs the question, or it obviously begs the answer here. Can the Celtics of this year's team, can they go 40-1? Is it something where now they've won 20 in a row, now it's become a thing where they're like, okay, we've got to win at home. Like it might be an off night against Detroit and a bunch of guys we might want to sit, but hey, we're 25-0. We got to get 20, is this something that's real now where they're going for it?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I don't think that. Yeah, I don't think that they can not try to protect that record at home.
Do you think it's an indicator of a champion? Like, would you say being dominant at home would say that this is a team that's top three or top two even?
Oh yeah. I
Title
mean, if you're the
favorite.
number ones. If you're the number one seed in the East and you're undefeated at home, I mean, you're a little bit over 500 on the road. But overall, you're like one of the best teams in the league and you're taking care of business every night at home. Like, yeah, give me that team to win the playoffs. You just have to take care of home court. If you're 50, if you're 500 on the road and you're 100% at home, you're 75%. Win rate.
Yeah, you're a 60-win team.
You're winning three quarters of your game, so
Yeah, you're literally a
cool.
61, 62-win team or
Yeah,
whatever it is, 61.
I will take your odds in the playoffs game to game over anybody else. Like, if you have a team that wins like that, just bet the money line. Like, I mean, you're not gonna make a ton of money, but like you make some.
They'll be such a heavy favorite.
Yeah, I just bet game to game, stack it up.
Keep stacking it up. Roll it over. What would you be
Yeah, just
20-0
roll it
right
over.
now, you think, on all those money lines? What do you think you'd be built up to? A couple thousand, maybe? If you start with like $100?
Yeah, it's not like $100. Yeah, you probably just got a couple G's.
I guess the biggest question, which I may have asked
Take
you
it
at
to
the
the slot
beginning,
machine,
but.
pop it, lock it, and drop it, and then you got, four or five.
Rub it, pull the handle. I may have asked you at the beginning, but I don't think I got your answer. Can they actually do it? Do you think they
Yeah,
will?
I think so. They're good enough. They
You
have enough
think
talent.
they'll go 40-1 or 41-0?
I think they'll probably lose one.
So you think they'll match the 40-1, the record?
Yeah, I don't think anybody will ever be undefeated at home.
Yeah, that seems hard to do, right? But they
There's
do
gonna
have
cause
the
like.
talent, it seems like, to kind of, if Tatum sits out, they'll be relatively okay night to night. Brown sits out, okay. Drew Holiday, fine. Derek White, like.
Because like there's gonna be an injury or something like that. There's gonna be like something's gonna happen. Like somebody, there's gonna be like a time. It's gonna line up one time where somebody needs to sit out because they have like a soreness in their bicep, and somebody else has a hip contusion.
Yeah. And I mean, here's the thing, like I don't know, I don't know the context of those records. Like, was there a second team chasing them in the standings and they really wanted home court? That's why they kept going for it. Like the 2015, 2016 Spurs. I mean, I know,
They just wanted to beat the
rest.
f out of the Heat.
They were highly motivated, right? But like, it's the fact that the Bucks and the 76ers are within striking distance. Does that help them with this record? Because they're like, okay, we kind of have to keep doing this to keep the one seed. We want the one seed. We want the home court all the way through. So maybe that helps them a little bit. But I'm with you on the injury stuff. and towards the end of the season, maybe drop a couple. I don't think they're going to get it. I think they'll be like 36-5-ish, you know, something like that, 35-6. I think this is where we're going to end up. But it's a cool start and something that should be noted because it is a thing. And it's something cool because we don't really see teams and players going for records, especially team records like that, usually anymore, right? So it's kind of nice to see a team maybe didn't realize what it was doing, and now all of a sudden it's like, okay, now we're kind of into this now. Let's do this thing. And it's beneficial for the fans, which is what it's supposed to be anyways, right? Something for the
Oh,
fans. You
yeah,
know they're going to
absolutely.
play hard at home. Speaking of fans, a light segue, the Los Angeles Clippers announced, or I guess not announced, but they've obviously been building their new arena. We've had a lot of press about it recently. And I think my personal favorite piece of press about it was the construction of the wall, which is a, you know, it's kind of built for to have a feel where a bunch of fans are on top of you. On the away team's end, I believe in the or in the fourth quarter or whatever that is, so they can you know, be rabid fans and mess up teams maybe when they're offense or mostly like their free throws, right? Like it kind of has that college type feel to it. And so that's one of the thing that Steve Ballmer has is an idea that he's approached. But my personal favorite thing about the wall was that there's rules for fans. Have you seen this or have you read any of the rules?
I have not read any of the rules. I want you to give them to me, David Letterman, top 10 style.
Okay. So let's see. I think there's four major ones that I've seen, or at least I wrote down.
The four rules for the
Number
wall,
four.
according to Ryan Meadows.
The wall, based on Steve Ballmer's idea. Number four, tickets can only be resold in Clippers' personal marketplace. You cannot
Seems pretty
sell them, I
reasonable.
guess,
On
on
Ticketmaster, which is this is a good thing.
StubHub. Like you can
This
only
is great.
resell them in the
That means that they
Clippers'
stay.
marketplace.
That's great. They stay at a reasonable value this way.
Number three, fans cannot wear opponent team's gear in the wall section.
Love it. More teams need rules like this for specific sections of the arena. This is great.
Number two, you cannot cheer for the opposing team
Excellent. I love it.
if you're in the wall.
Yeah, if you don't sit there, don't sit in the fan section if you don't want to cheer for the team.
And number one, which isn't a rule, but ties it all together. I guess it's three main rules, but or highlighted main rules. I'm sure there's other fine-tuned ones, but number one, breaking any of these rules will result in a loss of your access to tickets. And season
You know what I
tickets for
love?
the wall, they're going to range from $5,000 to $25,000, reportedly.
Perfect. 40 games, that's like $80 a game if you get like the $5,000 ones. And if you get the $25,000 ones, that's five times that.
Math.
It's about $400 a game.
Math. When you break it down that way, it's
No,
just,
it's
you
more than
know,
that.
it's three cups of coffee a day, you know?
Yeah.
You know, normal people say it's just a cup of coffee a day. Well, this is seven coffees a day. You can afford these wall season tickets.
Skip two meals a day.
If you eat at
Ten
In-N-Out
meals.
Burger twice a day, it's the cost of eating out at eating at In-N-Out every day. That's it.
So three square meals.
But you like that. You like this idea for a new arena
Yeah.
concept.
I want the arenas to feel like the people care. It's more fun when when the fans are into it. You ever watch the Miami Heat game? I rest my case.
People tune in the Miami Heat game to see someone sitting courtside in a long white, Bam Adebayo stitched dress.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like in a swim bathing suit cover up.
So you'd be all about the wall. You'd be going crazy in there.
I'm 100% for the wall.
Do you think it incentivizes
Put
people
the
to
wall on four
actually?
sides.
Does the wall have four
Put the wall on four sides. No, I'm saying put the wall on four sides.
Oh, it's the entire arena is a wall.
Make the entire arena the wall. Tell these fans of other teams to kick rocks. If you don't like the home team, then fuck you. Watch it at home. That's what I say. If you want to cheer for
So,
the opposing team, you sit up in the fucking top of the arena. You're a camera guy.
what do you have any other incentive-based things that you would like to see teams to start doing?
Well, so I saw this like press conference thing Steve Ballmer was doing. He's talking about how they're going to know if you're cheering for the team, if you're standing up at key moments, if you're sitting down in your seat, if you're I don't know what else he'll know. Probably like if you're on your phone, whatever you're accessing on the Wi-Fi. And then they're going to tailor advertisements to you based on what you're looking at on your phone while you're cheering for this team. No, I'm just kidding. But you're gonna get discounts on things around the arena. He's talking about like you get like discounts on merchandise and like there might be like different perks and things that you get for like being more involved in the actual like cheering for the team. So like I incentivizing fandom is so smart because you know what? Not us because we're older than this current generation, but this whole generation is a generation of people that like players and not teams. And what Steve Ballmer is trying to do is get a generation of people that like free to also like the Clippers.
Do you think it's kind of weird to think that I'm at a game and I might be watched based on my behavior?
Because it's probably not someone watching you. It's probably just like the chair knows you're standing.
Or it's like a casino with facial recognition.
I don't think it's. I think it's gonna be. It might be. Who knows? I mean, we already give. If you have a Facebook, like, what do you care about privacy anyway?
Fair. Good point. You have a Google search history, like,
Yeah,
yeah.
like if you've ever clicked like ex like if you use Google Maps, like don't even talk to me about like not giving your like caring about your privacy. Because you just know like where you go all the time.
Well, I'm not trying to turn this into like a cybersecurity
Well, no,
segment, but
I'm not either. I'm just saying that like we as a
I just
people,
didn't
like
know
just
if
in
like
general with technology, we're just like, yeah, you can just have that. But then when people are like, oh man, it's kind of scary. We're all like, oh yeah, we shouldn't give our data to anybody. But like every time someone's like, would you like us to conveniently log you in? We're like, yeah. This authorizes us to, and you don't even like read it. You're just like, authorize. I can uncheck five of these boxes, but I'm not going to.
Well, it's just like, am I going to like, if me and my wife go to a game and we go to get some ice cream or something, and she gets 10% off because she cheered more and I didn't, and I pay full price.
Well,
Like,
you should use her discount. It's a percentage. It's not a single reward. You don't understand math if you paid for your own.
no, it's probably not like that, right? Like I
I don't
it's
know. I
probably
don't.
not gonna be.
I think it'll probably be tied to like your ticket.
Think so.
Yeah, because I think like with the like what they're talking about with like the tickets can only be sold like in the Clippers marketplace and stuff like that. Like I think you're gonna have to have like a Clippers account to even buy tickets, probably.
Right.
So it'll just all be through that. You just get points when you stand up and cheer. Like, I mean, it'll probably be one of those things where you can opt in or out too. Like you can opt into like your phone
recording the noise level around you and stuff like that. I don't know. There's all kinds of different ways they could do it. I don't know exactly how they will. I'm not a technology person.
Well, off the top of your head, what if you were an owner of an NBA team, open a new stadium trying to get fan engagement? What is your number one thing you're doing or implementing to get that engagement? What kind of are you running some sort of promo, some sort of like, what are you doing?
Well, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to get the taxpayers to pay for it so they feel a sense of ownership for the arena and they want to come check it out. Second thing I'm going to do is I'm probably going with the wall thing. Because
So you really like the wall.
I like the wall. Like, it feels like it's like an exclusive club. Like, where are your tickets for the season? Oh, I got the wall.
Well, haven't they been doing
Oh,
that
you're
at
over on
football
the wall?
games?
What's it
Wasn't
like
that
with the dress
football
code and
games
everything?
where some
What?
NBA arenas actually had like a VIP section where you had your own booth and stuff like that? Wasn't it the like the Hawks or somebody like that did that? I know they did it at
Maybe.
the football game. A couple football games had like VIP booth areas where you could just hang out or whatever. But
That sounds kind of stupid for a sporting event. I'm not gonna lie.
it does, but I thought you said first thing I'm gonna do is have the taxpayers pay for a stadium so they can feel invested.
You want to give everybody a sense of ownership.
That was on the nose and very funny.
So, I mean,
So good
if
for the
you asked
Clippers.
me if I was an NBA owner, what would be the first thing I would do?
That was
And
the
that is number
yes.
one. I would be straight to the city hall.
And hold them ransom. If you don't
Yeah,
pay it,
because
we're leaving.
why would I pay for anything that I don't have to? Even though I can afford it.
Loopholes. So good for the Clippers overall in general. I mean, they're trying, right? May not work. I don't know. Like, I'll be interested to see the enforcement of the not cheering for the opposing team and wearing opposing team shirts. Like, are they just going to rip people's shirts off?
No, they're
But
going to ban you.
at least they're trying, right? Like, somebody's going to try to get in there with something over and take their shirt off, right? Like, then wear a Lakers jersey underneath. That's going to
They're
happen.
just going to splash you with blue and red paint.
That's what I'm wondering. Is it going to be a removal? Like, they're just going to yank this guy out of the wall?
It's
Now
just going
there's
to
a
be
hole in the wall?
two Clippers promo guys roll up with paint rollers, and they just start rolling paint. It's not latex, it's breathable.
Good for the Clippers. And for the last part here, we want to talk about, everybody in Grizzlies Twitter has been talking about this anyways, but we're here on Thursday, so we're behind the eight ball. We're late to everything, even though we are one of the first to talk about this guy. The really impressive game from our 19-year-old, freshly 19-year-old rookie, GG Jackson. Which led to you asking me, is this the start of the Memphis Grizzlies starting their own Jackson Five? Are we
Yes.
trying to build with Jaren and GG? Like, are we going to get a couple more players in here with the last name
Tito,
Jackson?
Jermaine.
Jermaine, maybe we can look in this draft class because we're going to have a high lottery pick. Maybe there's a guy in here with the last name Jackson. We keep building out this roster. What did you think about GG's performance in a win against the Golden State Warriors?
No, I thought it was great. He looked good. He
Do you
was
think he's
he
here to
looked
stay, or do you think it was just like this one or two night, decent shooting performance? And he's definitely going to struggle some, right? Like, that's just kind of the
Yeah.
reality of his
I mean,
situation.
you know me, I love a good overreaction. And so a two-game sample size is exactly what I like to go off of when I
The
make someone
perfect
my favorite
mixture.
player in the NBA.
Yeah.
So for the next hour, GG Jackson is my favorite player in the NBA, at least that long.
Yeah.
Until it changes to the next flavor of the week.
How
Well,
big were
GG
you into
Jackson.
the GG Jackson? Because everybody, you know, GG has a good game, or you know, a decent two games, right? And now everybody's bringing up all these fun stories about GG in the past and all that stuff. How much did you enjoy the quote unquote being snubbed from the Steph Curry skills camp when he wasn't really snubbed, but
I enjoyed that Draymond made that about Draymond.
Typical.
He told that story, I guess, on his podcast or whatever, and then
Yeah.
also invited him to be a counselor to Steph's camp at the end of it, which I thought was really funny. So good on Draymond for understanding like media and how to get people to watch stuff. And he like, you know, he's raising Gigi's profile too, but he just reclassified and was going to college, so he just was too, he was like not able to do the camp. So he didn't get like uninvited so much as it sounds like he got withdrawn.
Yeah, he withdrew himself, basically.
Yeah, he chose to do something that made him ineligible to attend the camp.
To
So
advance his own career, and it paid off. Now he's
yeah,
playing
it
against
worked out
Steph
for him.
Curry.
Yeah, and I think he just was like, hey man, I would have been at your camp, but this happened. And then it turned into, he walked up to Steph at halftime. He said, you uninvited me from your camp. And then he tore our ass up. Like
But
an
for
apocryphal
Gigi,
Jordan story.
I mean, we had said this, right? Like it sucks. I think it was last episode about the silver linings, right? Like it sucks that everybody's hurt. We don't want everybody to be hurt. We want, you know, we prefer to watch Ja, Bane, Jaren, Marcus Smart. Like we want to see this whole thing together.
Yeah, of
But it
course.
does give these guys an opportunity. And so with Gigi having this pop in these two games, obviously he's going to be like Vince Williams. Like if he gets consistent minutes coming off the bench, he's going to have really bad stretches. That's part of life, and we should understand that, especially for a freshly 19-year-old kid who struggled last year with efficiency. I know his team at South Carolina was bad, but like he's just going to struggle with that. He's basically going to be a three-point shooter, try to play a little bit of defense. Offensive rebound. Like, you're just not going to see a lot from him, right? But in what little we've seen, do you think we should already be prioritizing him getting real NBA rotation minutes? Like, should we try to be speeding up his timeline?
Yeah, why
Or,
not?
you know,
You have time.
going,
What is the
or,
season?
well, sure, he's going to play X amount of games. I don't know, remember how many games he has less that he can actually play as a two-way guy. But if he plays well for a week or two, I mean, Grizz fans, they're already like they were already clamoring for him regardless, right? Like Kenny Lofton Jr. is being clamored for. Now, if he has a good 2 weeks, like they're going to be clamoring for him even more over people like Roddy. Not necessarily
Bobo?
Santi, but you know, John Conchar, like, would you prioritize Gigi over those guys who have been in the rotation already, even going forward into next year for back fully healthy? Like,
Yeah.
is he a guy that you would slot into your ninth, tenth spot and already take over those minutes from Zaire, Roddy, whoever those guys
Hell
are at
yeah.
the end, John Conchar? You would do it.
I would.
Does
I'm
that go
impulsive, though.
against what you're impulsive? Okay. Does that go against everything that Taylor Jenkins has shown us in the past? Like
Yes.
Taylor Jenkins is just not going to do that.
Probably not. But also, like this year, like if they sign him to, if Zach Kleiman and co just go, we're signing him to a contract, he's got to play him. Right?
Well, that's a good question. Will he? I know he doesn't have kind of the option. He kind of has to, but if Bane comes back in any capacity, if Marcus Smart comes back in any capacity, we've said it before here recently episodes, Taylor is a kind of coach where kind of like how fans are, what have you done for me lately, right? He doesn't stick with guys. If Gigi starts, you know, he has a good couple games or a decent couple weeks, And, you know, if Bane, if Smart, if they come back, which I assume they're going to want to come back and play, right? I don't think they want to have a completely lost season. Like if he's playing over Zaire and Roddy because of the stretch he's had, and then he has a bad game or two, like we've seen Taylor bench people to elevate others. Is this a good test to see if Taylor has the balls to continue to play Gigi? Because it is obvious that Gigi has a talent that Zaire, Roddy, all those others just don't really seem to have. Is that fair?
Put him in, play him all the minutes, get rid of those other guys, put him on a bus, send him to Mississippi.
Across the border, so to speak.
Just to the G League.
So we were big fans of GG, which everybody, you know, do we give ourselves credit now? Should we do that? Everybody else is, right? About the
Pat yourself
GG
on the
thing.
back.
Okay, let's pat ourselves on the back then. Since everybody else is doing it, then we can do it. We try to stay humble here usually, but we deserve it. We deserve our shout out because this is the guy that we recommended the Grizzlies should take with their first round draft pick. What was it? Pick number 24 or whatever. We said, of all the picks, take GG Jackson. And they
And they
somehow
got it.
got him in the second round. Probably more luck, which I know the big concern and he fell was maturity issues, which I think it's fair for a guy who was 18, you know, about to turn 19 or turning 19, you know, to start the draft. And there was maturity issues and people didn't like a lot of stuff at South Carolina, but he reclassified, like we said, kept him out of the Steph Curry camp. And projected this year in 2024, he was probably a projected top five pick if he's coming out this year. So they used a second round asset to get a guy on a two-way and a much cheaper contract, then they might have rolled the dice this year on a top five pick, and now he's locked into a 3-year, you know, $9 million contract. So everybody wants to give the Grizzlies a ton of crap for draft picks and who they've got, and draft picks are just roll of the dice in general, right? They deserve a lot of credit for rolling the dice on three guys. Two of them top five draft picks, and the other one, the 30th pick in the first round in Desmond Bane, and hitting on all three. Like, that is remarkable.
And Brandon Clark.
And Brandon Clark, and everything around the edges that they drafted recently, none of them have really popped, right? And so it's starting to talk like, oh, what's blah, blah. We can't do blah, blah. Like, they drafted three top 30 players. Like, come on. Like, you're bound to have a couple bad ones. Like, that's just the nature of the NBA draft. And a few of those guys could turn out like Vince Williams Jr. Like, look at him. He was a second round guy. So, all this reevaluation, all this stuff, they used the pick to look past the immaturity, which I actually think was a pretty big move for them with what was going on at the program, right? Or the franchise at that time, right? Jaw's impending suspension, a lot of talks that they're immature. And I think Kleiman and them get credit for saying, like, they were in a world of crap at the time, right? The NBA was giving them crap. Every other fan base was giving them crap. They're undisciplined. They're too young. And they just doubled down and took a 19-year-old whose main issues was immaturity. Like, that was. And they had the balls to make that pick. So I think they do get credit for that, or they should. It doesn't mean that they should be slammed for the other picks they made and moving up for, you know, Jake and Roddy in that draft. Like, for them at that time, it was their best move. So I don't think they deserve crap for absolutely everything. They certainly don't deserve credit for everything, but it looks like they had another steal here. For a guy who was a no-brainer, minimum top 10 pick in this year's draft, it was a no-brainer to take him this year when he reclassified. And that's what we had said from the beginning. How can you not just look at that talent that he's a projected top seven pick in a draft class and he's sitting right there for you at 24? We said it was a no-brainer to take him, and they traded it and still got him in the mid-second round or early second round. So well done for them. Well done for us. Hopefully he continues to play well, or we'll just go back and delete this episode.
Absolutely.
Or we'll just ignore it like everyone else does when they're just flat wrong about something. We only call out our wins. We never call out our losses, right?
Absolutely. That's the way to be.
Anything that you like from the Grizzlies? I mean, they did beat the Warriors. Do you think things are looking up? Like they've looked competitive even without their guys? The young guys are playing hard? Or do you think this is just a
The
nice
more the
little bump?
Grizzlies lose, the better things look.
The more they get tired here over the next week or two, like just the grind of an everyday NBA schedule, like this is going to start to get, we're going to start stacking up some losses here. Is that what you kind of foresee for this group?
Yeah. Definitely.
Anything else you want to mention, NBA or Grizzlies related wise? I mean, anything else? I know we hit a bunch of topics all back to back here, but you got any other thoughts?
I mean, on the NBA, I came back to Twitter today.
Oh.
Or X, whatever the fuck it's called now. I think I'm gonna start trying to do a thing. You can keep an eye out for this throughout the week, where I'm gonna watch one NBA game. I mean, I'm gonna watch more than that, but I'm gonna watch an NBA game, and throughout the game, I'm gonna put a series of 25 tweets out. I'm gonna number them, and it's just gonna be an essay in 140 characters over 25 tweets. It's going to be like a real-time kind of thought thing about just something that's happening in the game or some random thing that I think of, and I'm just going to talk about it. And I'm not going to have a real, like, I don't know where I'm going to be going. I'm just going to start talking about it. It's going to be 25 tweets about that subject or wherever we go. Who knows? I'm just going to do that. I'm going to try to do that once a week.
And so a live game or something recorded.
No, I'm gonna watch like a. I'm just gonna like pick a game for that week that I'll have time to sit and watch the entirety of. And I'm going to from the beginning to not from the beginning to the end of the game, but just during that game, that'll be the time frame that I do the tweets. It will be something that I start thinking about during the game. I'll start the tweets in the first quarter. By the time the game's over, there will be 25 of them.
Love it. I'm very excited for that because you have not been on X in quite a while, right?
It's been a minute.
So now that you're back,
It's been
which
a
I
minute.
don't think you even told me that, so that's an announcement to
I
me.
tweeted it today.
Now that, oh,
Or
you
I
did?
X'd it. I X'd it. It just said, he's back.
I did not see it because I probably don't see any of your tweets anymore, so my algorithm did not populate it for me.
Yeah, you should just look in a following section
So
instead
now
of
I need to
for you or whatever.
now I can start sending you DMs again.
I'll see him.
That was the most fun part of it before, was just sharing videos and other stuff. Yeah.
It's the best part of all of those things.
So now we can get back to talking more online, more than we already do.
Yeah, it'll be great.
I'm excited for that, man. Yeah, I don't really think we need to touch on anything else. I thought about doing the All-Star picks thing because I have something kind of interesting based on, the stats that or the analytics that I looked at over the summer for players. But I think I'm going to save it. We're going to have a whole episode for that because All-Star stuff, I think we had our second returns or whatever. So we'll be talking about maybe not next episode, but probably episode coming up soon. The actual all-star teams who select, maybe a statistical kind of thing, and maybe some kind of eye-opening who should be in, who shouldn't kind of thing. So be looking for that coming out in episode. Make sure you're following us at FreeBball2. Since Cody is back on X, why don't you give him your handle?
Cody underscore Halsey.
At Cody underscore Halsey. And I am at RD Meadows 11. Thanks for tuning in this week. Hope you guys enjoy another week of NBA basketball, and hopefully Grizz can pick up a few more wins, even though we hope they actually lose. Tank for Bronny. Bring it back, Cody.
Tank for Bronny. Hashtag bring Bronny home. 2025.
That's what it was. Hashtag bring Bronny home. I can't remember what it was.
Yeah.
So everybody have a good week. We'll see you guys next episode.